This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief over at numberfire.com, and this is episode 111 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the Number Fire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. After the fantasy football season ended, I asked you guys which types of off-season podcasts that you'd like to listen to. The responses range from two quarterback and superflex shows to more podcasts that focus on building projections. There is a very wide variety of things that you guys wanted me to talk about. One of the most common responses, though, was an ask for me to do shows on Dynasty Leagues. Now, there's no doubt that this show has focused a lot on redraft leagues since its start in last April, and that's all intentional. My fantasy football analysis is mostly focused on redraft leagues, and that's how the majority of people play. They draft a new team each year, and they manage that team throughout the season. And then they're done, and they do the same thing the next year. There's nothing wrong with that. Redraft leagues are super fun. But to a degenerate like myself, you don't want fantasy football to stop during the offseason. And that's where dynasty leagues come into play. Like I said, I focused a lot of my energy on redraft leagues, but I've been playing in dynasty formats for years. Even still, I don't have the experience that some folks in the awesome dynasty football community have. One of those being Ryan McDowell, analyst at Dynasty League Football and owner of the Dynasty Command Center. I hit up Ryan to talk about some of the basics of Dynasty Football Leagues, but we dig a little bit deeper too, as Ryan gives us his take on how to value rookie picks and which strategy he tends to go with in startup drafts. It's a great primer for new Dynasty players, but there should be insight for all types of players. Before digging in though, this is a reminder that this is March, and FanDuel is joining in on the tournament fun with a free game called Bracket Pick'em. Instead of filling out a full bracket, all you have to do is pick five teams, and there are over $25,000 in prizes to win. Visit FanDuel.com/bracket to play for free. That's FanDuel.com/bracket. And if you want to go to the tournament in person, just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code LATE to get $20 off. That's promo code LATE for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. All right, now let's get to this interview. All right, Ryan, let's just kick things off with a pretty basic high-level question. What are the key differences between the typical redraft fantasy football league that most people play and a dynasty league?
So there's actually quite a few, I think. The main one that probably most people are aware of is just that you keep players from year to year. So once you add that player onto your team, as long as you want to keep them, they're on your roster from one year to the next. Of course, you can make trades, make waiver moves and things like that. But during this time of the year, of the offseason, they're still on your roster and we're still seeing trades made and things like that. Some other things are probably the activity level. I think that's one of the negative things I've found in some redraft leagues is once your team starts losing, you lose interest, which is pretty natural. Yeah. And the league kind of goes downhill quickly. But in Dynasty, even if you're losing in that specific season, you still have a long-term plan and you're still making moves to win in the long range. So typically, I think Dynasty players, Dynasty owners are more active. Strategies change a little bit as well. You see player value become more about age maybe than what you might see in a redraft league. Mm-hmm. Younger players, of course, are worth more, and dynasty players see value in those younger players sometimes more than they should even. Mm-hmm.
So we still have such a much larger group of people that are playing redraft fantasy football instead of dynasty. I hate it. I know that you hate it more than I probably hate it. But what do you think are the best kind of selling points for playing in a dynasty league instead of playing in a redraft one? I know that you mentioned some, but are there any more that maybe could get someone listening to this right now to switch over and play in a more in more dynasty formats?
Well, I always tell people that if the end of the fantasy season or the end of the football season comes and you're feeling disappointed, a dynasty league is probably for you. You know, if you're sad to see week 16 come and go, or even the Super Bowl end, you probably want to try a dynasty league. But as far as the appeal, I think just kind of that feeling of running a team, more of that general manager feel, because you are controlling the team again throughout the entire year, and not just for a few months during the football season. You're making draft picks and trying to improve your team, things like that. And I think a lot of times Dynasty is compared to playing Madden football that we all did growing up. And that franchise mode that, again, it's the long term. And I know a lot of people, I would always just sim through the season to get to the off.
Yes, yes, yes. Same. I loved it. I loved doing the fantasy drafts in Madden.
Yeah, exactly. So that's I think that's kind of similar to some of the good parts of playing in a dynasty league.
Yeah, absolutely. So you, Ryan, you play in so many leagues. What is your kind of ideal dynasty league look like? I know that a lot of people, including myself, we all have preferences in terms of whether you like PPR, half PPR, but not only that, but, you know, super flex, how many teams are in the league, how big the rosters are. I think that's more specific of a dynasty question rather than a redraft one per se. What is your ideal dynasty league look like?
So about 5 years ago, I came up with an idea for a league. I called it Kitchen Sink because it basically took all of these features, some of the ones that you already mentioned, that were in some of my existing leagues, and just put them all together. And it has really grown to be my favorite format, my favorite league type. But the Kitchen Sink leagues, and there's some others that are similar to this as well, but they're contract leagues, auctions, Devi, which is short for developmental, basically meaning we're drafting college players before they even get to the NFL. In some Devi leagues, you're even drafting high school players. Also Superflex, like you mentioned, and just a balanced scoring, trying to swing away from the wide receiver heavy approach, which just having Superflex, having some tight end premium does that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So you already mentioned Kitchen Sink. You know, you commish a ton of dynasty leagues. For someone listening who wants to start up a league, and hopefully we inspire some folks to do so after listening to this episode, but what do you think makes a good league commissioner? I know that your reputation is that you are the best league commissioner, Ryan. So what are some things that you do to make the game overall more enjoyable?
Well, I don't know about that. That's high praise. I appreciate it. Scott Fish is pretty good himself. We don't want to knock Scott. But
yes, yes.
I think you have to be organized. I feel like I'm unorganized in every other facet of my life. But when it comes to fantasy football and running these leagues, I think you have to be organized. Again, talking about the Kitchen Sink League, I try to be creative with the format of the league. It's pretty easy for most fantasy players, most dynasty players, to go out and find just a basic league. Mm-hmm. So I want mine to be different in some way. Being flexible, being responsive to the players in your league. You know, things come up and people get frustrated and you just have to respond quickly and make the best choice for the league.
Yeah. So let's talk more and focus our attention more on kind of the strategy of Dynasty and the league management or team management of Dynasty. There's more trading that goes down in a Dynasty league than a typical redraft one, which you mentioned at the top. And oftentimes those deals then involve rookie picks. We do see draft pick trading in redraft leagues, but it's not the same as what we see in a dynasty league. So I want to ask you, what's your process for rookie pick valuation? You know, how do you compare pieces who are already established? So a player that's in the NFL right now versus a draft slot of a player who hasn't even played a snap in the NFL?
Yeah, that's a really challenging piece to me, especially when you're talking about trading picks that are not just current draft picks, like we might be talking about these 2018 picks that are coming up in the next couple months. But I got a trade proposal the other day that involved a draft pick from 2020, which just kind of shook me a little bit that's where we are. Typically for me, I don't like to trade away my future picks. Again, talking about 2019 or even 2020, because those picks are only going to gain value. So typically I'm trying to trade for more picks, especially second and third rounders. A lot of times you'll find people willing just to throw those in to get a deal done. But the closer we get to those drafts, and obviously we're over a year from those drafts at this point, but the closer you get to drafts in general, the more valuable those picks are going to be. So you can make a profit in that way pretty easily.
Okay. Yeah. So it's almost like the old saying that money now is better than money later.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So when it comes to a rookie draft, then what's the best way in your opinion to determine draft order? You know, is it always, or do you typically just play in leagues where the worst teams get the top pick the following year? Do you usually go with the wraparound approach, or do you restart the second round with the top of the draft? How do you typically go about that?
Yeah, I guess I'm probably pretty old school with this one. I just go worst to first. The league champion picks last, regardless of his of the record or standing during the season. And one thing I do like to do is the teams that don't make the playoffs, we do a toilet bowl, which is, again, pretty common in dynasty leagues.
Yeah, yeah.
A loser bracket, if you want to call it that. But then the winner of that loser bracket gets an extra first-round pick. So in our 12-team leagues, that becomes the 1.13 pick, kind of a supplemental pick.
Yeah, something
to play for those teams. But the rest of the order, yeah, just pretty standard is what I prefer. A lot of people try to mix that up with potential points, basing things on that or something like that. There's lots of ways to do it.
Yeah. So since we're talking about rookies and since you're playing in Devy leagues, what are some of the things that you're looking for personally when you're evaluating rookie running backs and wide receivers, the two most important positions in fantasy football?
Yeah, it's tough for me. I really feel like kind of my wheelhouse is player value and not necessarily the scouting side of things. Of course, I can watch games and decide if I like a player or if I think a player is, you know, is good at football, hashtag. But as far as the scouting piece, I'm really relying on people I trust more for that, including you and Russell Clay, Waldman and Graham Barfield and Matt Harmon, you know, all these guys that are putting out great content this time of year. I'm just learning from you guys.
So would you say then that you're taking that information and you're better applying that information? Because I think that's the one aspect of fantasy football and dynasty, obviously, as well, redraft and dynasty, that kind of goes overlooked, where it's not just about, you know, honing in on a process to pick the right players, but understanding how to kind of take the information that you're reading and find inefficiencies and value that way.
Yeah, I think so. And again, I'm not starting from scratch.
Sure, sure, of course.
I've got some opinions and some takes on these players.
Of course.
And then adding in what again these trusted resources say can adjust my valuation of that player. And again, it comes back to that kind of knowing the market and the value of what we've seen from rookies last year, rookies the year before, how their value is going to change throughout their first couple of years in the league.
Yeah, and that's definitely the knowing the market piece is so much more important in dynasty as well, just given the fact that in redraft, you're really just worried about how people are looking at guys, obviously just that season, but you're only worried about one draft, right? But dynasty, things can fluctuate so much. And I know that you are constantly tweeting out ADP information for dynasty leagues, super helpful for most for folks who are playing dynasty leagues. And that's a great resource for people to kind of get a gauge of those market efficiencies and inefficiencies. But I have to ask you too, Ryan, since we're talking about running backs or talking about rookies here, rather, who's your favorite value rookie running back and wide receiver as of today? Obviously things can change. This is early March. We're not even close to the NFL draft. But you know, we're post combine now. So who are your guys?
Yeah, there's quite a few. I think this class is just so deep, it, maybe even deeper than what we saw last year with talented players that are going to make an impact in dynasty at some point, maybe not this year. And again, it doesn't have to be. I have been running some rookie mock drafts as well to gain some rookie ADP, and some of these players that are falling outside of the first two and a half rounds, I'm really surprised. I'm going to cheat a little. I've got two at each position that I like.
That's perfect.
Nyheim Hines, one of your guys from your area over there at NC State.
Yeah.
I think he's a player that can just come in and have a role immediately as that third down pass catcher type running back. His ADP right now is 30 in rookie drafts. So you're talking about the middle of the third round. Justin Jackson is the Northwestern running back. He just had a ton of carries throughout his college career. Some heavy usage there. So he may be one of those guys in dynasty. I'm going to try to draft him in the third or fourth round. I expect him to contribute immediately as well, but then I may look to sell him. Maybe not a long-term guy there with Jackson. He's 33 is his ADP. So again, that mid to late third round portion of the third round. Wide receiver, Deshaun Hamilton, Penn State guy.
Nice, yeah.
41 is his ADP. That just feels like stealing to me. I think he probably got overshadowed by Barkley, and we even saw the tight end Mike Gesicki just tear it up. So Hamilton's probably still going to be undervalued a little bit. And then the last one I would look at is Antonio Callaway, Florida wide receiver. Maybe we should say former Florida wide receiver. Had the off-field trouble and didn't play this past season at all. So lots of red flags there, but he tore up the combine as well. I think he's a late draft pick both in the NFL and in dynasty drafts.
Are you generally down on this rookie wide receiver class and more, you know, just generally higher on the running back class?
I think you have to be this year, just, yeah. You know, just with Barkley and Geis and Chubb and Penny, you know, yeah. It goes on and on. Yeah. And that's why. So it's just the trends we're going to see. We saw wide receiver dominate for 3 or 4 years, yeah. At least. And now running backs are back, which I'm glad to see. I've kind of become known as a running back hater because I suggested basically punting on running backs in dynasty startups a few years ago. But to me, that was the play because the talent just wasn't there. Now the talent is back.
So I have an interesting question about dynasty strategy, because unlike redraft leagues, where in redraft, you're basically your strategy is looking more so at positional value, and maybe taking a quarterback early, taking one late, or going zero RB. Obviously, those same principles can apply to dynasty leagues, but there's obviously a larger difference as well, just because you're looking at the long term and you're looking at, you know, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years down the line. One strategy, for example, that a lot of owners may do is tanking in year one in order to build that young group, that young core group of players, all while gobbling up future draft picks. So they're really just looking for youth, and they're trying to get those future picks in order to win, say, in year three. Have you found that to be successful at all? Or, you know, what's your usual approach when you're going into a startup?
Yeah, that describes my strategy pretty well. I wrote an article 4 years ago for DLF, and I called that strategy productive struggle, which is actually an education term. I'm a teacher in my for my day job. And the idea behind that is you're going to struggle in year one and almost intentionally struggle, but you know that productive piece is coming. The production is coming. At least that's the plan. And obviously it doesn't work out every time. If it did, everybody would do that. But banking on those young players, acquiring extra draft picks, extra rookie draft picks in future years, moving down in the draft and taking a shot on some of those players who their value may be low now, but you expect it to bounce back or you expect it to increase in general. That's essentially the idea behind productive struggle. And I've tried that several times. It's worked really well in some cases. I've won some championships in the second year of the league after being, you know, last place or second to last place in year one. And in other cases, it's taken 2 or 3 years. But to me, that's just kind of the fun piece. Try to build it almost from scratch and get those young players that are exciting to own and have that high upside.
Do you find that approach to just be riskier overall?
It probably is. Yeah. You know, if you're drafting a dynasty draft with a redraft mentality and you're taking Tom Brady and Larry Fitzgerald and, you know, these veterans that may not have many years left in their career, you're going to be building from scratch in a year or two and starting fresh. So it's just kind of of a different way to view it. Obviously, we've seen every type of strategy be successful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there, like I've said earlier, you know, there's a lot of people listening to this podcast that haven't touched a dynasty league before. So to you, Ryan, what's the one piece of advice that every new dynasty league player should know?
I think you have to understand the player value because it is so different from redraft. or even keeper leagues. If I think that's kind of the gateway to dynasty for a lot of people, is they'll play in a one or two keeper league. But dynasty value is so different, both with your veterans being devalued, your young players seeing much greater value. You already mentioned the ADP that I manage for DLF. I think, you know, I would suggest that as a place to start, just to get an idea of how to value these players compared to one another.
Yeah, absolutely. So last question really quick before I let you go, Ryan, where's the best place for listeners to find dynasty leagues? That's one of the questions that people keep asking me and emailing me in about, is just they want to participate in these dynasty leagues and they love the idea of them. It's just that their friends and their redraft leagues maybe aren't as into managing teams in this way because they're not as big of degenerates as we are. What's the best way for people to find these leagues?
Well, years ago, before I was even on Twitter or anything like that, I found leagues at the forums at Football Guys, at the forums at Dynasty League Football. So I still suggest both of those spots as places to go. And then if you're active in the fantasy football community on Twitter, you'll see leagues forming almost every day, or people looking for owners, looking for someone to take over an orphan team or to fill out that last spot in their new dynasty league. So I think between those three options, Football Guys, DLF, the forums there, and then on Twitter, that's where I would start.
Thanks so much for hopping on and dropping some knowledge, Ryan. If you guys aren't following Ryan on Twitter, his handle is at RyanMC23, and you can find his work over at DynastyLeagueFootball.com. And don't forget about the Dynasty Command Center, which you can find on Twitter at Dynasty Command. It's a great resource for Dynasty Football help. You can find me on Twitter as well, at LateRoundQB. And this week, guys, definitely go check out numberfire.com because we're pushing out a ton of awesome March Madness content that will undoubtedly help you win your office pool. Thanks for listening, everyone, and I'll catch you on Friday with this week's mailbag episode.